According to the National Fire Protection Agency, Christmas was the second highest date in terms of the number of fires caused by cooking, after Thanksgiving, of course. Thus, it is important to learn how to both prevent and treat such injuries, in case they do occur. But let me tell you, as someone who's burned themselves in the kitchen before, it is something you would much rather avoid. With that, I'll finally introduce myself. Hello, everyone. My name is Chloe, and I'll be your host for this episode. As you've probably gleaned, this episode is all about cooking burns. I'll be covering basic information about cooking-related burns with a focus on how to prevent and care for them. To this end, I'll be interviewing a school nurse who would like to remain anonymous with some questions on the topic. All right. Thanks so much for joining me.
The first question we have is, what types of burns are there?
So there are four different types of burns. There's thermal burns, chemical burns, electrical burns, and radiation burns, which can all be classified by different degrees.
And out of those four, a cooking burn would be considered a thermal burn, which is defined by Stanford Medicine as a burn caused by external heat sources which raise the temperature of the skin and tissues and cause tissue cell death or charring.
Can you elaborate a bit on those different degrees?
Sure. So there's typically the first degree burn, second degree burn, and third degree. First degree is relatively mild, which they're pretty much a superficial burn, which is some redness and pain, but no blistering. The second degree burn is more severe. It's deeper into the skin layers, and you'll see redness and swelling and blistering. And third degree is the most severe, that affects all layers of the skin, as well as the muscles and tendons. Like I said, these are pretty severe. And the area can appear charred and white. There's a lot of skin damage.
Right. And first and second degree burns are the most common levels of burns people usually get in the kitchen. They're what you'd get from touching a hot pan or making contact with boiling water, for example.
Which types do you need to seek medical help from professionals for?
I would say some second-degree burns, depending how bad, and definitely third-degree burns.
Yeah, first degree you're typically able to treat at home, and third degree you definitely should seek aid for. So it's second degree that is usually a bit tricky to determine at times. So I would like to note some guidelines for our listeners on when to seek medical help. It is recommended that you do so if the burn is larger than 3 inches in diameter on your face, hands, feet, or a joint. The burn was caused by an electric shock or chemical. You wouldn't really have to worry about this one with a cooking burn, which again are thermal. There is pus or other fluid leaking from the burn. The pain gets worse with time. Some skin was burned away. Or lastly, if the burn smells bad. But if you were to treat these burns at home, how would you do so?
Well, for a first degree burn, a more, mild burn, you can just treat it at home by, putting the burn under cool water. You can apply, Vaseline or petroleum jelly to the site, and just keep it covered and keep the area clean, with the bandage. If it's something like sunburn, which I guess is technically a first degree burn, you'd want to stay out of the sun. And there's things like, aloe and other sunburn products you can apply, things like that.
Now I would like to ask just a few questions on your personal experiences with treating burns as a school nurse.
How often do you have students come in with burns?
Not too often. At the high school level, we have students that, they use hot plates in labs. So then the once or twice that I had a student come in so far with a minor burn, it's usually from those type of things. They burn themselves on the hot plate. Or if sometimes they'll come in maybe with a burn they got at home. Sometimes if girls are using, curling iron or whatever. Mm-hmm. But nothing severe or, very minor burns at school.
Have any of the kitchen staff ever come in with a burn?
They have not, but that is definitely a possibility, something that could happen. I mean, the kitchen staff are technically, they are they don't really come to the school nurse because they're technically contracted outside of the district, but that is definitely a risk of their job. You know, they have to be careful.
As we're approaching the holiday season, what with winter break, Christmas, and Hanukkah, I would like to ask if you have historically found that incidence of burns in students increase around this time?
You know, I haven't really noticed burns. This is my first year at the high school level. Previously, I was with elementary, so it's a little bit different. So I guess maybe we'll see, but maybe the, you know, kids at the high school level are more likely to participate in cooking and things like that with their family at home. So we'll see. But, you know, my experience so far, I haven't really noticed burns. Typically what we see after holiday breaks is everyone is sick, but yeah. Not necessarily burns.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks so much for joining me. Now, I would also like to add what you should do to prevent a burn from occurring in the first place. You'll first want to limit the number of people in the kitchen at once. An overcrowded kitchen makes cooking hectic and impairs people from focusing on potentially dangerous tasks. Keeping your children and elders out would also do you good. Cleveland Clinic states that they are the most at-risk groups in terms of being burned when cooking. The second tip is to wear protective gear. This includes oven mitts, long-sleeve shirts, pants, and closed-toed shoes. Though it may be hot in the kitchen, these items can shield you from grease splatters and such. Make sure not to wear baggy or loose clothing, though, as they can catch flame. My last tip is to keep the area you're cooking in clean. Move all flammable items out of harm's way, and make sure there's ample room to set down any hot pots or pans you might use. Remember, prevention is the best medicine, and a burn is one of the last things you should want for your happy holidays. We're all human, though, and accidents happen. So, I'll lay out the information you'll need in the event that a burn does occur. According to the AID, you'll want to start by immediately putting the afflicted area under lukewarm or cool water to bring down the temperature of the burn. Make sure not to use cold water or apply ice, though. Doing so could cause further damage rather than help. You'll want to run the burn under water for roughly 10 minutes. Then, apply an antibiotic cream, such as bacitracin. Petroleum jelly can also be used, though, as an alternative. This will help prevent an infection. The area should then be wrapped in a sterile bandage. Gauze is ideal. Throughout the healing process, you'll want to reapply the cream roughly twice a day. If any blisters form, make sure not to pop them, no matter how tempting it is to do so. Popping them can increase your likelihood of having the injury infected. Lastly, keep the burn out of sunlight to prevent scarring. And that brings us to the end of this podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone, and I hope the information I've gone over helps your holiday season go by smoothly.